myself coming back out of a microphone. I've never spoken to a microphone since.
Well, I offered to let your... one thing you could help me a lot on is to see the background of the family. I mean, how she became involved and what could in the family could lead her to be active in public life. I mean, has the family been active for a long time in local affairs?
Well, yes, I think I may say yes to her background was, because although my grandfather, her father, was a very, very shy person, he never did a paid job, and he used to do certain things, but he was very, very shy indeed, and I don't think he did very much in public life, but I think his forebears had always done a certain amount by being what there was in those days, guardians and that kind of thing,
yes.
what sort of things. And some of the family were managers, not actually here, I don't think. And my grandmother's, his wife, who came from Lancashire, came from Wigan, her parents, her father and grandfather, they had been very active in public life in Wigan.
Can you remind me what the name of your grandmother, the maiden name of your
Woodcock.
I see, and the Woodcocks were active in Lancashire.
Yes, very.
Really, I hadn't realised, but how did they meet then, your grandparents?
Well, that I don't know, often wondered.
Yes.
Often wondered.
So it's often, I mean, there's an existing family tradition, and it gets a sort of infusion from Lancashire.
Both sides. And quite a different sort of background in a way. But I think that they had been in Wigan, the Woodcock family had been very much in public life. Great great grandfather's, I happened to find the other day, my great great grandfather. Was it my great grandfather? Yes, my grandmother's grandfather. His funeral sermon, which is very long. But he does say the sort of things he'd done. I mean, he sort of founded a school and that sort of thing, and taught in the Sunday school, and until he was quite almost gaga, I think. This is a sort of background, you see, on both sides, I think.
What about the Independency? I mean, were they very active in the local world of Independency, the family?
Well, it goes back to that. They say that John Bunyan came and stayed with the Tabor family. You see, we've got one of our local schools, it's called John Bunyan School, because John Bunyan's supposed to have been here and stayed with some of the Tabor family. There's no documentary evidence about this at all, I don't think. But it's
a
tradition is. Yes, and certainly that they had this independent meeting in that place where we saw that school this morning. This is more or less where it started, where the congregational, mocking congregational thing started, was then called independent meeting. And in fact, they started by meeting in a barn where one of the Tabor family, a little further up the hill, was now the middle of Braintree. That's where they supposed to have started meeting.
Wait, what's the origin of the word Tabor? It's an unusual name, isn't it? I mean,
no, it's not very unusual, I don't think.
I mean, I wonder whether you had any sort of foreign connection or anything going back to immigrant groups or Huguenots or anything like that.
Oh, no, long, long, long before the Huguenots came here. I suppose you've seen you haven't seen a copy of the family history.
No, I haven't. No, there is a family history.
My grandfather wrote one.
Oh, well.
And it goes back to, it's mostly personal, of course, but it does go back to quite a way. And the Tabors, Panfield, little church around here, who were in the late 16th and early 17th centuries. And they're all about the place then. But it's not a very uncommon name, really.
Anyway.
It's something to do with the Tabors. Who came, I don't, as far as we know, because after all, Tabor is a fairly common name in the East End of London.
Is it? Yes, you see,
Well, a Jewish name, Jewish families.
I see, yes.
But I don't think so you'd do with that at all. Yes. I always imagined it was probably someone who was a tabourer, a drummer.
I see, yes.
But I don't know.
Do you remember your grandfather, actually?
Yes.
I mean, what sort of person was he? What was he like as a person? You say he was very shy.
Oh, well, he was, when he was old, because I only knew when he was old, he was very, very... I thought you were always called hypochondriac. No, not hypochondriac, that's not the right word. But he was... Well, the word's not used in these days. Nervous.
Was he? Yes.
You don't say nervous.
You don't.
You're nervous now, do you?
No, I mean, you don't. People talked about their nerves, didn't they? One
yes,
time.
Well,
they
I think...
Do that so
no, I think it was. It was he all sort of... He was always terrible. If he didn't come back and tell... Not me, but if anything went wrong, he's always thought the worst was going to happen. That kind of personality.
Right,
Which goes through, I've got it still, and my brother's got it to me. We all think the worst is going to happen always.
Interesting. Was your aunt like that?
I don't think she was very much. No, I think she was much more sort of balanced. Really.
What about your grandmother? I mean, what do you remember her for, really, in personality?
Oh, she was a marvellous person, really. She was very... she's rather saintly, I think. She wasn't very strong, and she always had to have someone looking after her. That's why one of my aunts was always with her, really. But she was a marvellous person, really. Wonderful. Everyone loved her.
When you say saintly, I mean, was she so active in what were called good works locally, or was it just personal relations?
Well, she was... she didn't do anything very active herself. She had a mother's meeting and a mother's union, that kind of thing, you know, and was hospitable to the village and hospitable to all her relations and my grandfather's relations. Anyone, of course, my great-grandfather had 15 children, so there were quite a lot of relations. And she was the sort of person who kept in touch. She wrote letters. She wrote, wonderful letter writer. She wrote and wrote and wrote to all her children. Of course, my cousin who met Mary, her father and mother were in India, and she always wrote. They're wonderful people brought up in India, are always wonderful letter writers. I think
so she was sort of hub to the family.
Absolute hub, yes. She became a hub to the family, yes, yes. And Fenn's was a hub for the whole family, not her side and the other side as well.
Your grandparents lived in Fenn's, did they? That's the family.
Well, they lived there when my great grandfather died, which wasn't until about 1890, I think. And then they went to live there. But before that, they lived in London, in this place in Notting Hill, in Ladbroke Square, whatever it was.
Yes, I see.
And then when he inherited, they came down here to live at that time.
I see, yes.
So I suppose just about the time when my aunt was at Cambridge, I imagine, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes, it would be, yes.
Just about then,
that
think,
would
yes.
fit, actually. Mm. But was it a sort of a very happy family, do you feel? I mean, sort of the family that, you know, brought up your father and his sisters and brothers. I mean,
yes.
Do you get the impression it was a very united and sort of...
Oh, yes.
Self,
yes.
What's the word? Self, not self-centered, but self-sufficient family. Did they do everything together? And were there a lot of family recreations and things like that, do you think?
Well, when they were living in London.
I really meant when, you know, when you remember your aunt, when you met your aunt, which presumably would be sort of when they'd come back here, wouldn't it, really? You must remember them. When they were back here rather than in London, do you yourself?
Well, I couldn't remember when they were in London because I wasn't born until 1960.
No.
I left there in 1890, or whatever it
yes.
was, I suppose.
Yes, yes.
And of course, I lived in London. I was born in London, lived in London, my father, because his job was in London. And I didn't come to live here in Braintree until the First World War, when the bombing got so bad in London, by which time my mother was dead. And my aunt, one or other of my aunts, always came and lived with us in the war.
Yes.
Yes. You know what she did? She did in the war, don't you? She was a factory inspector.
Yes, she was.
During the war.
Yes.
And her husband.
Based actually as a factory.
Oh, she was living in London, I think, because that's when she lived with us, as far as I can remember. She lived in Blackheath with us.
Yes.
And when after my mother died, and or even perhaps before my mother died, maybe, because she was ill for a long time. But anyway, she that was in 1915, and then she had this job, factory inspector, while her husband was teaching at Winchester at that time. So he left Cambridge and went to teach at Winchester during the war. Mm. So that she did this job as a factory inspector.
What actually did that involve? I mean, it was simply making sure that working conditions were decent and so on for women, was it? Or was she a factory inspector for both sexes, so to speak?
I don't really know. I imagine it was for both sexes, but of course, I suppose, during the war, there were an awful lot of women who were in factories, weren't there? I'm afraid that at that age, stage, when I was only about 8 or 9, one doesn't always ask people what they're doing.
Anyway, I mean, it's a family that's involved very much in local affairs, is well known locally and active local congregations or independency or whatever.
Yes, indeed.
And she comes from this sort of background, so presumably her involvement in sort of Cambridge local affairs and public life generally is a natural family thing, and it's nothing that she doesn't strike out for herself in these areas, really. It's a thing that would come naturally to her.
I think what she did was quite different, was to be so... not outspoken, what do I mean? To be able to express it in public so terribly well. She was the most wonderful speaker, she really was. Marvellous, had a very clear, beautiful voice, and she spoke terribly well. And I can't imagine any of my aunt was quite good, but I don't think that many in the family before her would have been quite so good at public speaking. That kind of thing, which is rather different, isn't it? Well, my cousin Mary is very good at that. She's extremely good at public speaking.
Is she?
Yes. My brother speaks, but I don't. Well, he's all right, but he's not.
Not as outstanding.
Well, my aunt, she really was extraordinarily good, I think.
Was she?
Yes, and she had a very, very good voice.
Was she good at sort of establishing relations with an audience? That is, what one might call rapport. That is, sort of making jokes and getting laughter. Establishing a sort of connection with the people she was talking to, do you remember? Or was it just a capacity to say things concisely and clearly?
I think perhaps it was mostly that, really, but because she was very, very serious, I think.
Yes.
But I didn't often hear her, because when one's young, one doesn't go and listen to one's relations very much.
They've
got to do something ghastly.
But she wouldn't be the sort of person anyway, would she, who'd want you to go?
Not especially, no. But she was extremely good, and never sort of... she asked questions in a meeting or anything like that. She did extraordinarily well. And my cousin Mary is very, very like her in that way.
Is she really?
Yes. But in being so awfully good at speaking.
Yes. But I don't know, can you tell me whether, I presume they're liberals, are they, your family? I mean, they were liberals traditionally.
They were liberals traditionally, yes.
And then,
yes,
did they move over to Labour then when Labour...
my grandfather and grandmother, they would never have done that, and my father certainly never did that. But
I was really wondering, you see, where Mrs. Rackham's Labour, very strong Labour feelings, really come from. And are they a family thing, or are they something where she struck out on her own?
Well, they're a family thing now, because, as you know, my cousin is Labour, and I'm Labour, my brother's Labour, and he's the chairman of the Constituent Labour Party, and has been for years, and was the Labour, what do you call it, the county on the county council, leader of the Neapolitan county council until this last year. But I think she was the first person who joined the Labour Party, I should say. I don't think my aunt ever belonged to the Labour Party. I think she always voted Labour, but I don't think she ever belonged to it.
You mean your Aunt Mary?
No, Aunt Margaret.
Margaret, I mean, yes.
Well, my cousin Mary is Labour and belongs to the Labour Party, and, of course, but she hasn't been very active in politics because of being a Stevenage, but she's very active, really.
Yes, but, so again, I mean, this all rather fits into a family set of attitudes, I suppose.
I think it just comes from liberalism, don't you think?
Yes, oh, it certainly does, no doubt about that.
But when she first joined, I don't know, I suppose she belonged to this cooperative movement, didn't she?
Yes, she did, the women's cooperative. But what about pacifism? I mean, is there a connection between the family and the peace movement, or pacifism, or internationalism, or anything like that as well? Because she was active in the CND movement, of all things, wasn't she, towards the end of her life? And she actually went on some of the marches.
She went, I can't remember which year it was, when they marched here in Brentley. It was very strange, really, because she marched, she was supposed to be very, very, very old then. She marched part of the way, about 10 miles I think she did. I had to protect a new school from the CND people who came and camped out in the school. They were allowed to camp out in the school, you see, but they were so extraordinary. And the school had only just been opened, and I was chairman of the governors, and so I thought, I'm going to sleep here. So I slept there. Every time they got onto the platform, I sort of went to see what they were doing. Because they were pretty funny, some of them. I'd much rather done the actual marching than look after the school, but still. But she didn't do that march. She did about 10 miles then. And I think she also went the other Aldermaston ones.
She went on more than one, I think, for part of the way.
I think she did, yes.
But what was your attitude to that? I mean, presumably you didn't like that ever marching at that age, did you? I mean, it really was rather a bold thing to do, wasn't it?
Well,
maybe she always had marched on all her causes, I don't know, and this was just a sort of logical continuation of what she'd always done, I just don't know.
Well, I think she had, there had been other marches before. I think I went to march once on her with her in Cambridge. I can't remember now what it was about. Was it the strike, general strike? No, I don't know.
Perhaps it was one of the unemployed kind of marches or something like that.
Some sort of demonstration, I think, at some time. I went for a short time, but she wasn't on the Aldermaston march that I went on. I went on one from in London. I think she'd done the earlier part of that particular march, and I did the London part, because I was in London then. But
did she enjoy these marches, do you think?
Well, she was a very good walker. She was very, very active. She liked walking and bicycling. I don't know, and she was extremely active, and she bicycled in Cambridge. Mind you, it's fairly easy to bicycle in Cambridge in some places, I suppose, because people are apt to stop and not run you over. They expect all the elderly ladies in Cambridge with bicycling.
Yes.
But she was very active. She was a very good walker in her early days. She did a lot of sort of walking and that kind of thing.
Was she actually physically sort of strong to look at? Would you suspect it that she was a sort of a very healthy, fit woman from looking at her? Really?
I don't know. I think she was. She did look. She wasn't really big or strong, but I think she was perfectly. She never showed any signs of weakness, I don't think, at all. Except, of course, she did get deaf.
Yes, which must have been a great...
Yes, that's why she had to give up a lot of public work.
Yeah.
Of course, she felt she was too deaf.
Mm.
But that's a family thing, which I now suffer for, unfortunately.
One of the things your cousin actually said was a martyr for, I think, was the way she said, well, now I'm deaf, and deaf people are no good on committees at all. I'll resign them all. And she just self-consciously
yes, I think that is it. That, I don't think she would want to go on too long. Because apart from being deaf, she was perfectly reasonable and adequate in any other mental way. But of course, it does cut you off being deaf in a way, doesn't it?
Yes, particularly if you want to be efficient in it.
Yes.
But all this rather fits into, doesn't it, as a picture of. I'm just trying to see why she went to Nuno. You see, in a family like this, then presumably they'd have a very equalitarian attitude to the girls as opposed to the boys, wouldn't they? They want to give the girls as much of an educational chance as the boys. And it would be a family where a lot of discussion would take place. Is that so, do you think? So,
no, I don't think
so. Isn't it? Well, tell me more.
I don't think there'd be any discussion, but...
As we were saying earlier, it was unusual for a woman to go, for a family to send a daughter to Newnham in the 1890s. It was not every daughter.
No.
And it's puzzling to see quite why she should be encouraged to go in that family.
But if you're very interested in education, which all the family have been for a very long time, I think, don't you think it is that makes it more easy? But I simply can't see if you say the family is sitting down discussing.
It wasn't a family of talkers, really, particularly then, where the family table would be a sort of, there'd be a lot of legal arguments going on.
I shouldn't think so at all.
Still, of course, you weren't.
I wasn't there, but if you've got a family of people who are very reserved, I'm quite sure it wouldn't have happened like that.
No. It's interesting. So, but could you tell me a bit about Margaret Tabor? Because that is something that I haven't come across. And she was Mrs. Rackham's sister.
Yes.
And the two sisters went to Cambridge together, didn't
you? No. My Aunt Margaret was 8 years older.
I see, yes. So she never went to Cambridge, Margaret?
Yes.
She went to Newnham, did she,
before? Yes.
I see, yes.
Yes, she went to Newnham. I can't remember the date now at the moment, but I know it quite well.
You could easily find that out.
Yes. And she went to Newnham first. As I said, she made mathematics. And then after she left Newnham, she went up to Liverpool University to run the women's hostel there in Liverpool University for about 5 years, I think. And then after that, she came home back to Fens and looked after her parents the rest of her life. She was my grandmother wasn't very strong. And, she came and looked after her, and that's when she took up public work and did all these other things, like schools and all sorts of different things she did.
She was on the local council, was she, and things like that?
Yes, I think she was. I think she probably was on the parish council. And then when my mother died, she came and looked after us, you see. She came to London for a bit, and then we came down here, and as I told you, in the war, when there was bombing, we came down to live at Fairns, and then she looked after us. And until my grandparents died, and then when they died, she still looked after us, and looked after my father as well. But she did all this public work, particularly with education, chiefly with education, really.
Yes. What sort of relationship did she have with your aunt, Mrs. Rackham? Was she very influenced by her sister, do you think? Do you think Margaret sort of influenced Dorothy
quite
a lot?
No, I don't believe in influence. No, they both themselves. They were very, very, very devoted indeed. Very devoted. And of course, the last few years of her life, she lived with my aunt at Cambridge. They lived together.
Did they?
Yes, they lived together until my Aunt Margaret died. And I can't remember when that was in 1953, I think, about. Before that, she died in 1954, my aunt. So it was before that she went to live at Cambridge for the last few years.
I see, yes.
When my brother was first married. But, no, they got on extremely well.
Were they alike, actually? Did the elder sister have the same sort of incisiveness and the same capacity to speak in public and the same major characteristics, do you think, or were they different?
Well, they were different. Well, don't you think people, everyone's different?
Yes, yes. I just wondered whether they, you know, they really were, they got on well together, partly because they were similar to each other in some ways, or whether...
Well, they had women the same interests, and they did quite a lot of things together, I think, but mm-hmm. It was very different living in the country, on a country farmhouse, or living in Cambridge, I suppose, mm-hmm. Isn't it? Very different. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you must...
And my aunt Margaret was very good, actually, was very good with her hands. She was very good to sew and do all sorts of things like that. But I don't think my aunt and my aunt Mrs. Rackham.
No.
Well, she knitted an awful lot. But I don't think she really was interested in making things like that.
No.
The same way.
No.
But that's a sort of a minor difference. But certainly, no, I think that either influenced the other.
So they were too independent.
As far as affection can influence anyone, no, I don't think anything else.
Yes. You say your Aunt Margaret was not a suffragist anyway. And did she make a lot of this? And was she rather obviously a suffragist, or was it just a quiet sort of feeling you knew was in the background with her?
Well, I don't think at that stage, after all, it was a long, long time ago, wasn't it? When I was really young, I don't think one knew very much about, except that this is one of the things she was interested in, I suppose, but I don't know very much about.
Yes, I was looking up for her in the documents to see, you know,
whether she was a member or not, I think. Yes. I don't know whether she was, but...
So education, anyway, and suffragism, when it was important, what other things influenced or interested your Aunt Margaret then, do you think?
Well, she was a magistrate as well.
I see, yes.
Here, down here. And
local causes generally she tended to take up, did she?
What do you mean about causes?
Well, I mean, sort of looking after, for instance, local conservation or Labour Party activism or
No, she wasn't in the Labour Party at all.
Wasn't she?
No, she wasn't. She was a chorus of independent. Mm-hmm. But she certainly would have been... well, of course, one doesn't ask how people vote, but I'm sure she would have voted Labour myself. Mm-hmm. Unless one didn't have a Liberal candidate. I just don't know, but she certainly wasn't Conservative.
Mm-hmm. Was she active in the independent church?
No, because the family left that when my grandfather married.
Oh, I see. Yes, so
my grandmother was church.
I see. Church of England, you mean?
Church of England, yes.
Yes, I see. So the connection with local independency ends, does it, at that point, as far as your branch of the family is concerned, does it?
Oh, yes. Mm. My great-grandfather gave the land, this little chapel we've got here, because he was Congregationalist, of course. But then when my grandfather married, I remember my aunt telling me they used to go sometimes with grandpapa to chapel and sometimes with father and mother to church. Because grandfather still was chapel, but my grandfather, when he married, my grandmother became Church of England.
Yes, I see. And your Wigan grandmother was Church of England, was she? Yes, I see.
Yes, they were very... a lot of relations were in the church, I think.
Because Mrs. Rackham herself was, I suppose, a humanist, wasn't she, really?
I should think so, yes.
She wasn't a Christian in any sort of formal way at all, was she?
I imagine not.
Anyway, you must have met your aunt, I suppose, Mrs. Rackham, when you came from London here in the war, did you? I mean, when did you first see her?
Can you remember that? How can you remember when you first saw a person?
Yes.
Come off it. You can't possibly.
What was she like? when you were a child, what was she like to you? And did she, was she pleasant to you? Did she?
Well, of course, yes, yes.
Did you like her as a child? Some people are very good to children, aren't they? Older people, but some people are really just not good at all. I think Lady Stocks was not good, as far as I can tell.
Oh, was she not? Oh, oh, oh.
But Mrs. Rackham liked children, one's impression is. I mean, she couldn't have written so sensitively about her own childhood unless she'd sort of had some sort of fellow feeling with children, I feel.
I should imagine so, but certainly I haven't got any other, what she was like with babies, I don't know. Mm. Perhaps that was rather different, but certainly with children she was very good, and she was, like, I shall never forget her reading Ivanhoe to me when I was ill once, when I was a child, and she was a terribly good reader, and she read Ivanhoe to me, and she read one or two other books as well to me, and I've never forgotten how wonderful it was to have this read to you in bed. This is before my 21 years. When I was a child, yeah. And she was very good at that kind of thing.
She'd give the time to it, and she'd give the expression to it, which would make it worth hearing.
Oh well, yes, indeed, it must have been, yes, because I've never been able to read Scott myself at all.
Well, I agree. I mean. Absolutely. I mean, she could bring Scott to life. She could do just about anything.
Well, that's a historical novel as well.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't like.
So, did you see very much of her before you went to Cambridge, or was Cambridge?
Well, I sort of went when I went to Cambridge. I started seeing more of her than I imagined. I think, really, yes, yes, yes.
And so then you used to go. Did you for lunch, sort of at weekends, a bit, or? How did you, presumably the sheer choice of going to Newnham must have been partly a family thing, was it? I mean, influenced by the fact that so many members of the family had been there before.
Well, I can't imagine going anywhere else. You suggest you have to go to Oxford?
No, not at all. But I mean, that was a sort of natural gravitation to
Newnham,
wasn't it?
Yes, 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 definitely, yes.
Mm. Yes. Did she encourage you to go there, or was it? Was it just entirely an independent thing, really, that you went there?
Oh, it wasn't independent at all. I don't think she encouraged it at all.
It was just a thing you sort of drifted into quite naturally in the family, really.
Well, my Aunt Margaret thought it would be nice if I went there, and my cousin Mary, we met, her mother was there, and... Well, Mary hadn't gone then, of course, because I went earlier. Another cousin went there. I think there were four cousins. I think I had three first cousins, I mean, at the same time I was there.
Yes, including the one I've met.
The one you've met, yes, and two others on my mother's side. Mm. My mother's nieces were there at the same time I was.
So you naturally went to lunch with the Rackhams, did you, you know, now and again, while you were
undergraduate? Oh, yes.
What were the lunches like, and were they sort of lavish affairs, or family affairs, or what sort of occasions were they?
I don't think there were any particular occasions, I just was rather like my own home.
Like just going into your own family?
Yes, indeed. Well, I used to go and stay with them once before. They weren't part tourists when they were in Christ's. Mm. And at Christ's, they were in this very nice house overlooking the fellow's garden, which is extremely nice. That was a lovely place. So we used to go there, and my uncle, Harris, he was very good with children.
Was he?
Oh, yes, very good. We were all very fond of him. But, I think they were living in Park Terrace by the time I went up to Cambridge. I think so.
Did she take an interest in your sort of courses and your studies at
no.
all, really?
No.
Because it's rather interesting, Mary said that she didn't really very much take an interest in that sort
no.
of detail.
No.
Which was rather surprising in a way. I mean, I don't know her, but I would have expected her to be quite interested, really. Academically,
No, I don't think she was at all, actually. She's, one of her great friends, who's also a young friend of hers, was my tutor in my hall tutor.
Yes.
Mrs. Palmer.
Oh, yes.
And, so that made, in a way, perhaps things a little bit difficult in some way, some senses.
I understand,
yes. Mary was in a different hall. She was in Clough, and I think that was perhaps in some ways a bit easier.
They used to entertain undergraduates, didn't they, I think?
Oh, yes, they had quite a lot. Anyone who had any, quite apart from my uncle's own undergraduates he was coaching or was concerned with, any of a family or anything like that they would have in, yes, they entertained quite a lot in that way.
Was she good as a hostess, do you think?
Well, what do you mean?
Was she good as a conversationalist, for instance? I mean, did she make conversation flow easily at table and sort of generally make sure...
Well, I don't mean for a dinner party or anything like that, but in anything like tea party or anything, I think she would be excellent. But I don't know whether you'd say that... See, I don't think that young people really, on the whole, certainly in my day, were very critical of their adult relations. They took them for what they were. And so if you asked me a thing like that, I wouldn't have entered my head to criticise any of my family for the way they behaved.
To some extent, that suggests she did it rather well, really.
Well, not necessarily. If she'd done it badly, this would be the way I was brought up, and this is what I would have taken on, I suppose, as part of your sort of...
You just take that as a given thing. Really.
This is the way people behave, and so I don't think one does criticise one's... Unless it's something very, very strange.
Yes. But was she... You say... I think you said something like she probably didn't ever cook anything or something like that. She presumably had help in the house.
Oh, yes.
All Don's wives did in those days, didn't they, I suppose?
Oh, yes.
So presumably a lot of the... of heavy work of entertaining would be relieved off from her anyway, wouldn't it? She'd be able to concentrate on seeing after people.
Yes, and in any case, in those days, I suppose you can now, can't you get something in the college kitchen?
Well, if you're living in, yes, you probably could, yes. But in Park Terrace, presumably she had Mrs. Jones, didn't she, who seems to have been a rather marvellous woman, who really managed the kitchen side of things.
Oh, yes,
well.
I think she did the later days, but I'm not at all sure they couldn't get something in the college kitchen and just bring it across, you know. If necessary, something like various things you could do. No, certainly she never cooked, but then...
Then nobody did at that sort of social level, really. Did she do a lot of reading? I get the impression that she was quite a reader.
Oh yes, definitely. Yes, because I've taken her to the university library to get books out, you know, and she got an awful lot of books out of the university library. This is in the leisure days anyway, and I suppose before that she probably would have gone on her own when it wasn't so far to go, but when it was quite a way.
I think I remember Mary Tabor saying she always used to see a sort of table with periodicals on and heaps of papers and things.
Oh, good heavens, yes. She took a lot of papers, you see. She was interested in various things like this, like the Howard League and protection of birds and women's cooperative and labour weeklies and everything you can think of. There was always a table with the weeklies and everything on it, yes. There was a lot of reading like that, but there certainly were books as well.
Oh, yes. It's sort of surprising how she found time to do all the things she did, because if you read Common Cause, which was the periodical of the women's movement in the 20s, she's always writing articles on penal reform and things like that. She's very active in the local Labour Party. She's presumably, doing, so to speak, her duty as the wife of a don as well, doing entertaining and that sort of thing. And she must have been extraordinarily busy. Then I suppose that's what domestic service enabled you to do.
Well, I think so, yes. I'm sure it did that.
Was she Was she keen on dress at all? Did she mind about her appearance, do you think, very much?
Well, she was never smart at all, but she was, I think I would say certainly that she minded about her appearance. Yes, I think so. I mean, she would be careful what she wore. And she'd want the colours to be right and that sort of thing, you know.
Mm. She wouldn't make a sort of fetish of it.
Oh, no, no. Mm. You'd always be sensible and not slovenly.
But there are other things rather more important than dressing, making a fuss about dress or spending ages choosing a dress.
Oh, yes, quite.
Another thing that interested me really was the tremendous sort of activity she showed in local affairs in Cambridge. I mean, she was quite clearly a very important Cambridge figure, really, rushing around doing all sorts of things for local Labour Party, speaking at meetings, active in the local council. She was on the education committee, I think, wasn't she?
She was on the county council and on the borough council. Yes. The borough council in those days. And she was the chairman of the education committee of county, I think.
I think it was the county.
Although she was a minority party, because they, you know, because she was always Labour and there were very few on Cambridge. She was made the chairman of that, and she was terribly interested in education. And WEA, of course. Mm. She lectured at WEA. Mm. And I think also to go to lectures, but she did lecture for the WEA, was very keen on that.
Did she give you the impression of, as being a person tremendously busy, you know, very concerned about using her time economically and things like that?
Yes, I think she must have, and she always knew what she was doing every day and that sort of thing. But she spent left time to go swimming and that kind of thing. So if it was fit, she would, or if anyone was going to see her. When we went to see her, she would take the time off to go and do what we wanted to do.
Did she give you the impression of being a person who enjoyed life a lot? I mean, got a lot out of life, really. Everything she did, she enjoyed, would you say?
Well, I should think so, but I think that... I think she took things very greatly to heart. Anything went wrong, you know. Anything was wrong in the world situation or all these sort of awful tragedies and things, she took them very much to heart.
Mm. Well, quite rightly, in a way.
So that I think she wouldn't sort of be light-hearted about any situation, no. Because background is all these things, all these injustices and things that she fought against all her life with such vigour and completely uncompromisingly. I mean, she never compromised on anything.
Did she try to enlist you in these causes at all?
No.
She sort of left you to make your own mind up.
Oh, yes. Absolutely, yes. She was interested, if one was interested, I think.
But she didn't in any way try to guide you towards any of the causes she was interested in. I mean, if you were interested, so much the better, but she wouldn't want to push you in any direction.
No, I don't think you've got much impression of our family if we thought she would. I'm rather disappointed after this long conversation to still ask a question like that.
Yes, well, it's very difficult to sort of get into a different family. You know it so well. You know,
yes.
I
think if one wanted to do something which she disapproved of, thought was dreadful, like anybody else, they would have said, well, you know, do you think you are doing... Look at it this way. As my father said to me, this is nothing to do with her, but my father said to me at the time of the general strike, when I supported the strikers and he didn't, he did then say, well, you know, we have got a parliamentary system and this is the way the things should be done, but this is the only sort of... And he would never say, well, don't do what you're doing.
No.
But he put his point of view, and I think she would, if she'd seen me doing something which I thought was, you know, in fact, I think she may have said something, but she wouldn't just say, well, this is another way, look at it this way.
Mm. Yes, that's. I wish all adults were like that.
Well, I've been very fortunate in my aunts, there's no doubt about that.
When you were choosing your career, insofar as one did choose a career at that time, as an undergraduate, did you ask her for advice, or did she try to encourage you to take another career or anything like that?
No, I don't think it arose at all, really, actually.
She didn't sort of ask you what you were going to do or anything like that?
Not that I remember.
But then your later contact with her, presumably you must have lost contact with her a bit when you were in London and the COS and in your approved school and so on. But you re-established contact with her later on in life, did you? When she was getting
older? No, we were always in contact. I mean, my father was alive and we met at... I suppose we met at Christmas and that sort of thing, or we went over. I know Cambridge is only 30 miles away or something from here. Mm. One drove over there pretty often, or they came. We never lost contact, but it wasn't sort of day-to-day contact, of course.
No. And then in later life, you presumably went over to see her quite a lot when she was on her own, because she, as far as I remember, but you must correct me if I'm wrong, she... sold up, didn't she, to put it crudely, the home round about 1948 or so, didn't she, and moved into rented accommodation, I think. And the year's probably wrong, but that sort
no,
of time.
No, quite wrong. she certainly must have lived at Park Terrace until, certainly after 54. Well, yes, but my aunt died in 54, and she certainly was living there. Mm. And I'm not sure she didn't go on for a bit after that.
Mm. And then she went...
She had some people...
She had lodgers. People... She said she did have lodgers. Yes, that's quite
yes,
right.
Yes, after that, yes. Before she gave up and went to...
Students and people like that.
Yes, I'm sure she did for quite a time, yes.
That's quite right.
While she had Miss Mills, her housekeeper Miss Mills, I think.
Yes.
While she was alive, I think she... Yes, because she was alive then. Mm. Well, she went on for some years after that.
Mm. And then she moved into...
More like 58, I should think, when she...
Yes, I think you're probably right. And then she moved into rented accommodation, I think, and then she went into two homes, didn't she, when she was much older, and sort of alternated between them as far as I could see.
Yes, I think she went into that place... was called now, somewhere in Chesterton, for a bit.
Meadowcroft.
Meadowcroft is a Red Cross home.
Yes.
That's where she spent quite a lot of time, really. Yes. Yes, she was there in a very uncomfortable room there for a time. Mm-hmm. And then I think when she got very ill, towards the end, I think then she went into... nursing home for a bit, and then I think she did go to this other place, again with an L, I can't remember the name of it now.
Yes, I can't remember. She actually helped to found one of the places she was in.
Yes, that's the one. Yes, not the Red Cross one. The Red Cross one was a private nursing home, really. Mm. But the other one was I think a Cambridge one, which she helped to get started. Because she was always very interested in getting very, very, very forward-looking her ideas. She was when she was first a poor law guardian, she got the children out of the workhouse and got a home started for children in Cambridge, which years later I had to go and inspect because when I became an inspector. But that was the first time they got the children out of the workhouse. Well, the first time in that area, anyway, they got the children out of the workhouse, because she was so keen they should have this home and not be in the same place as all these old people. And then again, she started looking after old people in different accommodations. She was also interested in that.
Mm-hmm. I think your cousin said... very amusing. In her later life, she used to say, well, I must go and see my old ladies or something. When in fact, she was very much an old lady herself.
Oh, much older than most of them, I'm sure, yes. Yeah. You know, I've known it, I think. Well, I hope what I've said has more or less tied in with my cousin Mary's saying.
It has, yes, very
has
much
it?
So.
It has, and I haven't argued all.
No, you don't diverge at all. One thing, one impression I got, and again, this may appear to you as a slightly clumsy question with your family, but I get the impression with Mrs. Rackham that social class distinctions don't really matter with her at all. I mean, she will get on with anybody, really, and whether if they're working people or middle-class people or whatever, doesn't really matter to her. She can establish a relationship with anybody.
Oh, I think so, definitely, yes, yes. As long as they are sort of, well, she couldn't put up with any sort of, what do you call it? People putting on the side and that kind of thing. Not
pretentiousness.
Yes, pretentious, that's the word, really. Yes. I don't think she didn't care for that at all, I don't think, really. Yeah. But anyone genuine, I'm sure she'd get on extremely well with.
Yes.
But she was absolutely sort of uncompromising in her attitude. I remember going when I was starting my probation career. I don't know whether I was a probation officer then or not, although I was just a voluntary worker. But looking after my father, she took me to Wormwood Scrubs prison. And it must have been, it was in the 30s, in the Great Depression of the 30s. And we went into this prison, you see, and we went round the prison, and of course she was a magistrate, and we went round with the governor. And the governor said something rather rashly, that so many of these men were in prison because of the dole. And my aunt got arrested. What do you mean? She said, thinking, you see, he thought this was easy money for them, and he didn't mean that at all, actually, luckily. He meant, oh, you know, these men are on the dole, and they're so, it's an awful state. This is why they get into prison, and they shouldn't be here at all. But I felt frightened. But then I had to say that. She just actually stood up to the governor and said, what do you mean by that? Well, she thought he meant, because so many people did say in those days, this was rotting the sort of independence of the working man by giving him the dole, you see. But this is the sort of thing that she would do, not minding where she was and what she said.
Yes, that's very interesting. She had quite a sort of fiery temperament when it came to questions of principle like
that. Oh, yes, she wouldn't lose her temper, but she would say quite definitely, what do you mean by that, and explain this. And you know, she would be very definite and absolutely not care what anyone thought about her or anything, complete confidence in her. But I thought this, I just remembered the, oh no, are we going to have an awful row?
This again is to some extent a family characteristic, isn't it? I mean, there are people who are prepared to say what they think, you know, and not to be polite for politeness' sake. If there's
well, yes, I think on the whole one does do that, yes. Although sometimes one does sort of let things pass rather than have a row, unless it's absolutely important. Mm. But still, I think it is right, but it was it rather amused me, because luckily, as I say, he was on her side on that occasion, so all was well.
Yes. Mrs. Jones seems to be an absolute asset, actually, to the whole sort of set-up in Park Terrace, wasn't it? I mean, how did it work? Did Mrs. Jones have the kitchen as an empire, did she, and sort of really ran that side of things, and so to speak, freed Mrs. Rackham to engage in public work? Was that how it worked, really?
I imagine it would work like most situations, that she would come in the morning and say, what are we going to, I think she would have gone and consulted my aunt what she should do. I think she probably did a good deal of the shopping.
Yes, that is the impression I've got. And she also did the cooking too, didn't she?
Yes. But I think she would consult and say, what should we have today? She wouldn't say, well, now we're going to have so-and-so.
No. But I think I'm right in saying that the kitchen was redesigned, wasn't it, for Mrs. Jones, so Mrs. Jones could be upstairs. Isn't that right? Because Which meant the kitchen had been down.
So oh, yes, 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 it was a, it was a basement house in Park Terrace, yes, it was, and the kitchen was downstairs, and so they made what was the, what it was really, it was one big dining room. But they put the kitchen, well, it's been done in a lot of houses since, hasn't it, really? The dining room in the front part and the kitchen just behind with a hatch.
Yes, precisely.
It had a hatch, I think, yes, had a hatch. And the drawing, of course, was upstairs. But that was there before. But I can't remember what happened in the basement, what they did with the basement now.
Doesn't matter anyway. I mean, just the what interests me with a lot of women who are active in public life in this period is how, really, in many ways, they couldn't have done what they did without assistance of this sort in the house, which you just couldn't get, as we were saying earlier now. It just would be impossible.
Well, I don't know. People do it still, don't they?
Well, in Oxford, anyway, Oxford may be a bit different from most because of the colleges and the car works and so on. But, you know, it's almost impossible to get any help in the house now. So if one wanted to do, if my wife wanted to do public work of any sort, it would be very difficult. Really, on that sort of scale.
To get anybody at all?
Yes, it would. Maybe it's not so difficult here, I don't know.
Well, no, I don't think it's quite so difficult here, really.
What was the house actually like, Miss Taylor? Was it, did she like antiques or sort of elegant furniture or anything like that? Or was it very practical, utilitarian sort of house? What sort of furniture and things did she have?
Really, where she comes from? Well, I think it was very comfortable. I think really, it's very comfortable, and she certainly would never. I don't think she'd have bought antiques. I don't know where it all came from. Those two chairs came from her.
Did they? Yes.
They were both hers. Yes. One doesn't look like it. Yeah. One she gave me, one I got a bunch after she died.
Nothing distinctive or noticeable, really. Again, presumably it would be something.
Just like everybody else's house, anyone in that sort of situation, I should have thought, really.
Yes.
Of course, they had lovely pictures, because they had the Arthur Rackham pictures, which were really lovely.
Yes. Was she fond of music and painting and things like that?
Not music. Not music at all, I should say. I never heard her say anything about music. Her husband was musical, but she wasn't at all, I don't think. But, she was interested in pictures, yes, I think, definitely.
But again, I suppose...
But not painting her. I don't think she painted herself. My Aunt Margaret used to paint, used to sketch very nicely, as people did in those days, watercolours, but I don't think that she ever did.
What about gardening?
No, not actual physical gardening. They had a very nice little garden, but I don't think she ever did actually do it physically.
Because she clearly is, she walks, she swims, one might have thought she would be active in the garden as well, but I suppose there's just limits as to how much time she had for that sort of thing. In any way, you could get a gardener more easily in those days than you can now. She liked the open air, did she? She enjoyed walking long distances.
Oh, yes, 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 very much so, I think, yes. Yes, holidays were very often going walking tours, they used to do in those days.
Did you go on a walking tour with her?
No, I don't think I ever had a holiday with her, actually. I don't think so.
One thing I wasn't quite clear of was what happened to her in the Second World War, what she did.
Well, she was in Cambridge then, you see, and I think my uncle died in 1942, 1943 or something, was it?
I'm not sure.
Well, I can tell you, it's all written down in that Newnham College Roll, but you've got that, haven't you?
I can certainly.
Yes, well, I was talking to last night, actually, reminding myself. I think it probably was in 1940, was it before my father died? That was somewhere at some time during the war. But during the war, they had students, you see, from the London School of Economics.
That's right.
Who were lodging there. So that kept her fairly, well, not busy.
Yes, I suppose
there was plenty of things going on. And, of course, there were an awful lot of things that she did do, naturally. Was she still an adjutant then?
I don't know. I've got all these details at home.
I think she probably was still with him. But anyway, she was still on the council, I think, because the council didn't change during the war, did it?
Yes. Her brothers, you say, one of them was a solicitor, wasn't
yes.
it? And then there's your father.
Was an engineer.
Was an engineer. And there's one other brother.
That's my cousin's father, who was in the Indian Civil Service.
Yes.
And then he came down to live across the way there. Mm-hmm. After during the war, he was in the service in the war, First World War, and then he came and lived over there and also did public work when he came down here.
So there were five of them in all?
Five, mm-hmm. Yes.
And the impression I had, I didn't quite know whether this was from her memoirs or what, or maybe something I read, some obituary or something, but when she came down from Newnham, she came back here, didn't she, first, and then she got married after that.
She got married fairly soon, actually.
Yes, she went off to Cambridge after that, but my impression was that she was very impatient with life at home, as a sort of daughter at home, and she was pleased to get out, so to speak. Do you remember her talking about that at all?
No, I don't remember her talking about it at all, but I think you're right. I think what happened was that she... when she came down here to live, this is the time when my aunt went to, thought she could leave home because the other's daughter was coming back to look after her mother.
Yes.
She could go to Liverpool and had this job in Liverpool, and that's when she came home here. But I think she started various things. I'm not sure she didn't start a GFS or something.
Oh, yes.
Something for the factory girls, something of the sort she started. So she obviously was quite active. To a certain degree, she wanted to stay at home and be a
daughter
at home and do the flowers or go calling with her mother or anything like that.
No.
So I think she was very glad when she did get to Cambridge and started doing things again there.
Yes, I'm sure that's right.
But and then when that happened, my aunt came back, of course, from Liverpool and was, I think, more content, perhaps, with meeting people socially, meeting people.
Yes. She was very devoted to Newnham, wasn't she? And she quite often went there.
Oh, yes, indeed. Of course, wasn't she on the council or something for a long time? Yes, or an associate. I don't understand these things myself.
Yeah.
But she certainly was, and used to go very often. And, of course, being in Cambridge, she knew everybody who was there. And my uncle, too, was very interested, I think, and they were both very much sort of in the university as well as in the town.
She seems to have been a sort of key figure, really, in a number of circles in Cambridge, really, joining together a number of groups.
I don't think I would say she was a key figure as a...